Welcome back to All Rights Reserved, your exclusive entertainment law and law school podcast with your hosts, Kayla and Suna. Today, we're going to be talking all about law school grades. We asked you guys some questions, or we asked if you had any questions about grades in law school on our Instagram, and we actually got a couple good ones that we wanted to go through first before kind of talking about our collective experience in law school.
Yeah, and this one is actually kind of I actually really like this topic just because I've seen a huge shift in grades, especially for me at least. So I think this will be a fun one.
Yeah.
So let's jump right in.
Let's jump right in. So the first question we have is, how important are grades really in getting a job?
All right. I can take point on this one.
Go for it.
So, well, I'm just going to flat out say that for entertainment, it doesn't matter at all. I didn't do that well my first year. I got below average. It wasn't even, you know, I wasn't even the smartest person in the class, but I still ended up getting paramount from being a 1L and having 800 competitors. They did not once ask me what grades I got in school. They only asked, did you take copyright law? Which I said, yes. Yep. Did not matter that I actually got a C in that class. So just letting you know that grades do not matter, especially for entertainment. However, if you do want to get into big law, it does matter. Yeah. So coming from Southwestern, you know, like if you are top 10, top 20, you have a better shot of getting into big law. Mm-hmm. I know that they typically ask and make sure that you're in the top 20%. So if that's something you want to do, then it's important. But I've never, for all like the other sectors, I haven't really seen it being an importance at all.
Yeah. My impression is that it's very much a big law firm, like corporate law firm requirement. Like they're very pedigree oriented too. With that, it kind of depends on what school you go to. So it's like, let's say you go to like Harvard, you probably don't need to be in the top 10% of your class because they'll recruit from Harvard anyway. But so it just depends on where you are. But honestly, like Kayla was saying, I think that if you want to do anything entertainment related, your grades don't matter at all. And who you know matters more. Your networking matters more. Like you can get your foot in the door without, you know, being a stellar student as long as you have that demonstrated interest and ability.
Yeah, that's the problem. Like for me, at least, like there were two big law jobs that I was just like, you know what? Why not just apply just for fun?
Because they pay really well.
they pay. And then also the fact, like I have really great experience. So like, if you even look at my resume, you'll be like, oh my God, this girl like is killing it. But they didn't even look at my resume. I just got like a standard like rejection email and I know it's because like I'm not top 20 or I don't go to one of those schools that are known for going straight into big law. So
it feels very unfair. And like, I always get like,
I'm not going to lie. Yeah, I knew they weren't going to get back to me, but I still was upset about it.
But it's annoying just because like, that's such an arbitrary way of weeding people out. Like, I don't think grades are reflective of anything just because literally all it shows is where you were in relation to your class that year. And we'll get to the curve in a minute, but like I don't agree with it, but you know, that's just kind of how it is. If you're in law school and you want to do big law, then you should probably worry about your grades more. But if you're in entertainment and you know, you don't have all A's or whatever, it is literally not a big deal. Just keep your head down, do the work, and make sure you're networking and building your relationships with other entertainment lawyers who might be able to help you down the line one day.
Yeah. And that's also like stressing the importance of doing well on the LSAT. Like honestly, just getting into a top school, it just helps you so much in terms of getting those jobs.
It does.
But realistically, like I don't really care. I'm perfectly happy with where I go to school. And I know for a fact that if I wanted to get a job at some like really cool studio in the future, like they're not going to ask me, oh, what was your GPA when you graduated? They don't care. They just want to see really that don't. You got a JD. So
yeah, exactly.
I don't care.
I think grades and like transcript resume stuff is a little bit more applicable to law firms, but I don't think entertainment law firms that much either, unless it's like one of the big law firms that also do entertainment. But
yeah,
that actually segues us into our next topic or question, which is whether individual grades or GPA is more important. What classes should we do well in for entertainment law? I think that obviously having a good understanding of copyright is important, but it's not, I'm not going to say it's not necessary because you do need to know copyright for entertainment law, but I'm not sure if like you should be focused on just getting the A to get the A in comparison to, you know, getting an A because you love the class and like enjoy the subject and like that kind of can demonstrate your interest in the field, but I don't know. I mean, it helps to have the classes, but I'm not sure how like performing in them well might make a difference.
I think for me, like with copyright, I actually, don't get me wrong, like I enjoyed the subject matter, but one, it is a hard subject, so don't be fooled by it. And two, I think it really comes down to your professor because I took trademark. I got an A because my professor was fantastic. Yeah. And, you know, copyright and trademark kind of go hand in hand. Mm-hmm. They talk about the very similar things. So the fact that there was such a disparity between 1L and 2L grades was like kind of ridiculous.
Also, I think that since our school lets us take an elective during 1L, like we were already really stretched thin with like legal writing and all of our 1L classes. Right, and then taking a class like copyright that is so incredibly dense on top of that, when you've like never been exposed to it before, I think that's probably another reason why there was such a disparity between copyright and trademark. But I think like the way that I approach entertainment classes is I take the classes that I'm interested in, that I want to learn about. So I've taken music for film and TV, music industry contracts, copyright, entertainment law, and I'm in music publishing right now. So for me, the way it goes is like, since I like it anyway, I'm probably more prone to doing well just because I like it. But I don't think that like I've ever had in an interview, like them request my transcript for one thing and ask like, oh, so you got this like B in whatever, like, tell me about that. Like, I haven't really seen that. I think that the benefit of taking the entertainment classes is learning about how it works and what like, you know, the difference. Yeah. So it's like, it adds to your knowledge on the subjects, but I don't think it's a make it or break it type thing. Then again, like maybe if you weren't able to secure an entertainment internship during 1L summer, having entertainment classes could help at least for you when you are interviewing again, being like, okay, well, I've taken entertainment law and I really like it. And like, you know, to again, demonstrating your interest.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. I mean, for me, like, even though I didn't even do that well in copyright, I still like,
you still got the talked job,
but I still talked about it in my interview. Yeah. And I think they like that. If you just kind of drop like one little thing there, oh, I learned that in one of my classes. Mm-hmm. That's so cool. Like, they're like, oh, okay. So she's not completely, you know, like unaware of what's going on. At least she has some sort of idea. Yeah. And I think that's kind of what helped me get the job. A lot of it had to do with, you know, just being confident and, you know, at least presenting that I knew what I was talking about.
Well, and that's the thing. It's like, you want to have a demonstrated interest. That's what it is. So whether that is through taking entertainment related classes, whether that is your extracurricular activities or whatever, you know, internships or maybe pre-law school jobs that you had, it doesn't really matter. Obviously practical experience can help the most, but I think that as long as you're doing things that show that you want to do entertainment, the rest of it doesn't really matter. Like grades and GPA don't really matter that much.
So that kind of like, that's kind of my approach.
Yeah.
The approach that I took is actually not traditional to what people usually do, or like what you did, Suna, for example. Like I kind of just took whatever classes was required. I didn't really take advantage of the entertainment classes because I was working constantly. Right. And for me, I was getting so much more experience working rather than, you know, doing a class that I could be super interested in and get A's and bump my GPA up. And I'm sure it could have, like, I'm sure I could have taken electives that would have easily bumped up my GPA, but I just decided like, hey, let's just get that JD and have that, all that work experience. Because like I said earlier, I'm not top 20%. And so I would rather have the experience behind my belt rather than people judging me based on how I did in law school. Oh, yeah.
No, totally. And that's the thing. It's like, I think the moral of the story here is that there's no one right way to do it. And like,
yeah,
if you want it enough, you'll figure it out. Whether you have good grades, lower grades, average grades, whatever it is.
Yeah, it's who cares? You're still in law school.
Yeah. And the thing is, like, once you graduate, no one cares. They care if you pass the bar, which is what really matters.
My parents always say, like, what do you call a lawyer who graduated at the bottom of his class?
A lawyer. No, that's exactly.
Like, who cares?
Yeah, no, exactly.
And doctors.
Yeah. And it's like, that's the thing. It's like, obviously we're in law school and it's hard and like, it's very difficult and challenging for your brain cells to, you know, absorb all mm-hmm. that information. But when it comes to being in the real world and being an attorney, like we're not going to need to know all of that stuff. Like and especially with like, when you get into transactional entertainment law, it's like, there's not even litigation involved in that. So you don't really need to know anything other than how to draft a contract and how the deal works. So it's like, I think that taking entertainment classes is beneficial.
Yeah.
Just so for your own knowledge, like in my entertainment litigation clerkship, my entertainment classes really helped. But that's because in the survey class, we actually covered like a lot of the influential cases and stuff. But that's yeah, cool. You know, just do what feels right for you, what's going to be best for you. Like, I don't even really think honors programs are that important when you're applying to entertainment stuff. Maybe if you were in like the entertainment law clinic, review. Law review, maybe at a law firm, not really at like a company though. But I think that the clinics, if the school you're at or you're applying to or whatever has an entertainment related clinic, then that would be good just because again, that's practical experience.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, you know, if you're 1L right now and just got your grades back and you're not super duper happy with them, but you want to do entertainment, it's fine. You can chill.
Yeah.
Don't worry about getting a job. Worry about obviously, you know, not flunking out because that would be bad. Focus on your networking, focus on your own like self-education about entertainment. And I think you'll be fine.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not going to lie. After like the first semester, I didn't do well. Okay. I'm like being too hard on myself. I did okay.
You're always so hard on yourself.
I didn't get any A's for a matter of fact, but I did get a lot of B's, B pluses, whatever, yeah, maybe a C plus thrown in there. But I mean, I wasn't happy with myself and I think I put too much pressure on myself and I was like, I'm never going to get a job. I'm so stupid. Like I was just getting in my head about everything. Yeah. And then meanwhile, I'm getting like the coolest job after my first year.
Right.
And
so who cares?
Yeah. So like, who cares, guys? Just don't worry. Apply, yeah. network. Like we cannot stress that enough because like your grades don't matter. You're going to become lawyers at the end of the day. Mm-hmm. And that's really all they care about. Just make sure you pass that bar. Oh, and if you ever do want to get into big law, I'm sure in 10 years from now, if I wanted to get into big law, I'm sure I could somehow, you know, finesse a job at a big law firm.
Lateral hires are a thing. That's a thing. And that's a thing. It's like, I think that there are ways to do big law that start from law school, but those aren't the only ways. Again, if you want something enough, you'll figure it out.
Yeah. There's like so many partners at like these crazy firms that went to Southwestern that I see, like, you know, that's incredible. And I'm not worried.
No, we'll be fine. I think that obviously if you go to a higher ranked school, you might have an easier time with your job hunt, but at the end of the day, you are all you have and you have to be able to trust your abilities in going out there and finding what you want. So that was a long-winded answer to that question. So the next one is explain the curves. I don't get it with a crying emoji face. And I can do that since I've been curved since college and it is the bane of our existence in law school as well. So basically the way that a curve works is your grade ends up being in relation to the rest of your class. So I believe most schools use the bell curve. It's just like a statistical analysis tool, basically, just for simplicity purposes. So the easiest way to think about it is, let's say, you know, your average is like a 70% or something, and mm-hmm. your school puts a certain grade for the average. Like, so let's say like you curve to a B. So what makes a B minus and a B plus is determined by what that curve standard deviation is. So that's why it's so different for each class, because all of your grades are different between your individual students. So, you know, if 70 is a B in one of your classes, it might not be in another one. So that's what makes it very frustrating and unpredictable. However, yeah, it can sometimes work in your favor. So like, let's say everyone did horribly, but you did well, like when you would normally be getting a B, you might get an A plus just, yeah, or you could be like screwed over by the curve in the opposite direction. So I think that it's very easy to get hung up on that. And like, I was very freaked out about our curve during 2L because our section was incredibly competitive. And I was just like, just because like, during 1L, the curve was a certain way. And like first semester and second semester, they were kind of easier to kind of gauge just because we'd already done first semester. But then 2L happened and all of our classes changed. And I didn't know a lot of the people in our section. And I was like, yeah, oh my God, like what if, you know, all the top students are in our section, which they kind of were because our curves were really tight. So it just, yes, kind of, we had a lot of honors students. And
I'm surprised that I didn't do worse 2L in our section.
I mean, the thing is, though,
it okay.
I mean, you've talked about this on the podcast before, but you were also saying like how you were so just freaked out about taking exams during 1L that you kind of like calmed down and were more centered by the time 2L came around.
Yeah, true. That's probably why. It's not because I'm dumb. It's just because of my stress level. But
no, you're way too hard on yourself. I know. But like, basically, that's what the curve is, and it's frustrating and it's annoying because like, you know, you might come from an undergrad that didn't use curves and that like, you know, yeah, certain numbers were certain grades. And the other kicker about law school grades is that professors have to submit their grades to the administration or the registrar, whoever handles the grading, and they have to get their grades approved. So in some cases they'll tell professors not to give out too many A's because they have to like stick to this curve situation or whatever. There is a certain number. And like, I've been told by one of my professors that he had to resubmit his grades because everyone did too well, which is really stupid. And I don't know why that's a thing. So yes, it sucks. And my advice about the curve is to just, if you get a grade back and you're above the average, you're fine.
That's all I think about it. I swear for evidence, I think everyone did so well that the curve was that tight.
Yeah.
In the sense that like literally you could be a point off from an A minus or a B plus. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it's like, it's just unpredictable. And like, I remember, I think our evidence midterm, everyone did really well. Just, it was like out of 25 and the average was like a 20 or something.
I know. Yeah. So crazy.
And like, so.
Forgot about
like,
that. Yeah. That was like our last in-person test.
Oh my God. That's true. That is so true. Because our common law midterm got canceled.
That was our last in-person exam.
Oh my God. That was literally like a year ago.
That was a year ago.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, I think don't stress out about the curve too much. If you have midterms and they release all of the scores or the averages and stuff, just look at the average and see where you are in relation to everyone else. And also the median score can tell you about your class. So the median means the score that the most people got. So like the most common score that everyone got within that class. So it can tell you where you are, but you don't need to freak out about it too much because the finals are usually weighted so much that like someone who killed it on a midterm could totally bomb a final and do average and vice versa. So it's just like, it's annoying, but it's just the way it is.
It's true. I mean, I feel like my grades are not consistent and that's totally normal. I feel like you can just absolutely kill some classes. And then in some classes you're like, oh my God, I walked out of that class. Like, I felt like I did so well after community property.
Yeah.
And
I did too, actually. I had a decent grade, but like, I thought it was easier than, I guess, what it ended up being.
But I believe that's because of our tight curve. And that probably makes sense as to why. But then for classes like, I don't know, what's like con law? I don't know. Yeah. I'm sure, like, I have a friend that Callie did, and she doesn't even know how. I mean, that is crazy. That is the crazy. Like, yeah, that was probably the hardest class I think I've ever taken.
Oh my God. Con law, like first semester con law was the hardest class I've ever
taken. Yeah, it was a disaster.
Because it was like literally trying to fit a circle into a square shaped hole. Like it just wouldn't work in my brain.
No, that's literally how I feel. Yeah, and property. Now I feel that way about property too.
Yeah. I mean, I just don't miss those classes at all, which is not going to help when we're studying for the bar, but it's okay. Those were the main questions that we had, but we also thought that we could kind of talk about our experience with working towards improving grades. You know, maybe you didn't do so hot on a midterm and you want to turn it around for the final. Maybe you're a 1L and your grades aren't what you wanted them to be and you want to do better. Or maybe you're just kind of okay and want to know how not to get worse. So I think consistency is important with everything, regardless of what your grades were like. But there are definitely steps that you can take to improve your grades if you really want that as a goal for the year.
Yeah, for me, I really stopped focusing on reading cases. Like, I just feel like I spend so much time, like hours on hours, just reading cases, whereas like I didn't learn how to just pick the issue out, pick the rule out. Like I feel like when I read a case, I can IRAC it like almost immediately. Yeah. And I feel like it's become like second nature to us. Yeah. So I feel like 1L actually like helped prepare me for that.
Correct. But that is the point.
I think, yeah, I think one, like not wasting your time and just kind of like getting straight to it and finding the rule and be like, okay, that's why the rule works. And that's how they applied it. Yeah. Okay. And then two, like practice exams. I think I did for every class, I think I do at least 20 plus practice exams if they're available. Like,
yeah.
I know some schools don't really give very many practice exams, which kind of sucks, but like our school's very good about giving them. And I found that that's actually how I learn, because
you learn by applying.
Like,
yeah.
Yeah. I'm like learning how these people wrote their answers to these questions. And then I'm like, oh, okay. Okay. Now that makes sense. Because sometimes when you're just reading an outline, it does not make sense.
Yeah, definitely. I think that those are really important skills too for the bar exam later on, as we learned in Cal Bar writing last semester. I think that, yeah, definitely learning to work smarter, not harder is important, just because there are some places I'm sure that you're probably wasting time. Like whether it is, I don't know, how you take your notes for class or how you're choosing to do your outlines. Or I mean, for me, I wasted a ton of time making flashcards for Con Law 1 that I didn't even use. So it just depends. And I think that another thing that can be kind of painful is to be very like blunt with yourself and accept your mistakes. Cause I think like, you know, maybe before law school, like you were used to just getting straight A's in undergrad or you're just used to just getting good grades in general. And then obviously the monstrosity of the curve happens and you're all of a sudden like not where you're used to being. You kind of have to like confront it and not be in denial about it and not be bitter about it, because at the end of the day, obviously you didn't do something enough, or obviously you messed something up, and you're not going to be able to improve without confronting and figuring that out.
I think you also have to remember that there are people who are just like insane test takers.
Oh yeah.
Like I literally could have put 99% effort into studying for something and I could still end up with a B because Becky next to me is literally like the most insane test taker and has like the craziest memory of all time. So like, I just think like
there
a lot
are some
of it,
superhumans out there. We had one in our section 2L and like he was literally one of the smartest people that I've ever met in my life.
And you know what's crazy? I talked to him about it like during 1L, and I remember him saying like, yeah, you know, like I didn't really do that well in undergrad, but I think just for him, law school just clicks. And I think for him, it's just, he just doesn't need to put in that much more effort because he just gets it. And it's like, he lives it and he breathes it. So like, that's kind of why these people do so well. So stop comparing yourself to these people that are just like anomalies, because even though you put in like all that effort, like getting a B is amazing. Like you need to be proud of that B. I am proud of my Bs.
Oh yeah. I think like our upperclassmen classes are curved to a
To a B.
Minus or a B? Which one
was it? I'm pretty sure it's a B, and then 1L was B minus, which is also a very, very hard curve because a lot of schools are curved to a B or a B plus, like if you go to a higher ranked school. So
Yeah. That helps. Definitely. But yeah, and I think like obviously, you know, it feels really unfair, but you know, it clicks for some people faster than it does for others, but that doesn't mean that it won't click for you. So I think that what's really important is to treat it as a learning experience and just be efficient about how you attack your issues. So get all of your exams back, get all your cut sheets back, see where you messed up, see what you did right, and then continue doing what's right while figuring out what you could do differently for the stuff that didn't work so well. And I think that it could be the way you're studying. It could be the way that you're writing an essay. Ask your professors, or you might have dean's fellows, or even, you know, the school, our school has like an academic like success department. So they advise us on like how to write essays and how to improve grades, like if we need it. And it's just a lot of like being vulnerable, which kind of feels scary. But at the end of the day, that's just kind of what you have to do to figure it out.
Well, there is one more thing I do want to address, like to all the 1Ls, especially the 1Ls, you know, since you're literally doing school online, everything is open book. So like, when you go back to law school and you're in person and you're taking your exams, they're not going to let you take them open book. Listen, the bar is not open book. So even if your school's letting you take it open book, you're still going to have to learn for the bar.
Yeah. Don't rely on it.
So yeah, I will give you an example of a friend of mine from 1L who actually didn't continue on, you know, with school because, I'm not sure that her grades were, you know, up to the standard that needed to be there for law school. And I think the difference between the way she was studying versus the way most people should study was she was just memorizing.
Right.
And like literally she would just like write her, you know, rule sheet. And then she was just memorizing all the rules. Yes. It's great. You need to memorize your rules because you're literally taking the exam off your memory, but she did not know how to apply anything.
Well, yeah. And the rules aren't where the points are. So yeah.
No. And we were like literally talking it out. And I remember like, she couldn't apply it. She did not know what was going on at all. And like, I felt sorry for her because it was literally like the week before the test. And like the poor girl literally did not know anything. Oof. And like, I feel like that was like, so like imperative to like, you know, I just don't think that she did law school the way she was supposed to do it. And like, I know everyone has different approaches and stuff, but like, I also know someone who like, right when you get to the test, instead of reading the fact pattern and issue spotting, they just wrote down every issue and wrote wrote down like a trigger list on like literally, and then wrote about non-triggered issues. And like,
if a professor that's a waste seeing, of time.
Yeah, I know. And then if you're like, writing about non-triggered issues of professor gonna be like, what is happening here? Like, no, you know, it honestly makes you look worse because they're like, okay, this person clearly doesn't know what they're doing.
Right.
So like, I think for me, I really focused on, okay, these practice exams, whereas like these other people who maybe weren't as lucky, they were like, okay, memorize. Mm-hmm. And like, I've even learned like after talking to like one of my friends who just passed the bar, she was saying like Kayla, I literally did not remember the rule. I just made it up. And you know, like they tell you, if you don't remember the rules, just make it up.
Yeah.
And if you can somehow articulate something that sounds even remotely close to a rule, just do it.
Yeah.
You'll get some type of point. It's like,
yeah. So yeah, basically being able to apply the rule is more important than being able to regurgitate it, just because that is where all of the points are. And any bar prep course will tell you that. Any law professor who tests in the IRAC format will also tell you that. So yeah, I think working smarter, not harder also means instead of, you know, making all these different study tools that maybe aren't even helping you. I mean, this is directly a reference to myself, just because I don't feel ready to take practice exams until those are done. Probably my time is better spent making my outline, going over it, making my rule template, and then just jumping into essays and just winging it and seeing how I do, because I've definitely done that more in the last couple of semesters. And it has served me better than making all of like the rule posters and flashcards and stuff that I used to make.
Even like, I feel like sometimes like in the first like one or two essays that you do after you like do your studying and whatever, yeah. and you're like ready to take exams, you're going to be like, oh my God, I can't do this. Exactly. Like it's so hard. But
it's,
like,
it's better to have that part. Earlier though, better to yeah. realize that earlier than like the day before the final, because yeah. I oftentimes find that like the first two essays that I do, I don't do them closed book or anything. I have my right, outline, right. I spot the issues, and then I practice how I would write it out. And then the more practice you do, you start to remember the rules anyway, and then you start to kind of get into a rhythm. And right. honestly, like essay writing for law school is very, very formulaic, and it doesn't have to be this like big profound thing. There is a formula.
Yeah, you can literally write like a fourth grader and that's totally fine. Like, honestly, the easier to understand, the better mm-hmm. because professors just want to like check it
yeah.
off.
Yeah.
You do it. So just yeah. make sure you do I that. I had
my CivPro professor during 1L. Mm-hmm. I literally would just separate the facts verbatim by semicolons when writing his essays because he was very like into – you need to use my words. Like, I don't want you to add things that aren't in the fact pattern, which actually is very okay. bar centric. And I appreciate it because the way that he taught us to write essays is very similar to how we did CalBar. Okay. So I would literally do, he had this rules, all these rule statements that he preferred, which I think were very useful because they were actually based off of the statute, I believe, or the code. Okay, and cool. I would literally do like, I don't know, so-and-so will argue that they had minimum contacts because, and then just separate the facts from the fact pattern, like quoting them and just by semicolon. Like that's how I did it.
I mean, that's
and he gave me points and I did fine on the essays and the multiple choice really messed me up on CivPro. So I'm not looking forward to that on the MBE tomorrow, but well, Thursday.
Yeah.
But yeah, so it's like.
No, for sure. Sorry, go ahead.
No. I was just going to also add that like, obviously some professors have distinct styles. So I think it's always a good idea to ask your professor what kind of essay they prefer. And if possible, taking a write-up to them earlier in the semester yes. and getting their feedback on it. Because
yes, send them a write-up.
Because they're your audience. They're the person who is going to be reading your final and you want to make sure that it yeah. appeals to them. And yeah. while that sounds dumb, because that's not what the bar is like, just some professors are very particular and it's better to learn it their way first. I mean, not learn yeah. it their way. The information's all the same, but like write it their way first, mm-hmm. just so you can be strategic about doing well in that particular class. But
and also you'll yeah. notice after doing like essays on essays that like these, they all have patterns. And like when you start picking up on those patterns, you're mm-hmm. like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
And then you just like, when you're reading the next mm-hmm. few after the first two or three, four, mm-hmm. you're like, oh my God. Okay. I actually do know this because yeah. I'm picking up on those patterns. So
yeah, no, definitely.
I think that's literally the key to success.
Yeah. I think so too. And I think that
I had
like,
to give anything.
And I think that when it comes to like trying to improve your grade from a midterm or something like that, or you're not understanding something, I always suggest going to the professor first, or if you have a teaching assistant, going to them first before you go to any outside resources, because some professors just prefer it their way. And again, going back to the fact that you're writing the essay for your professor. And this will be my example from 1L contracts. So second semester.
Yeah, contracts. I was just about to say.
Yeah. So first semester, I did pretty well. I contracts was my favorite 1L class. But second semester, I basically failed the midterm. I got the lowest score out of our entire class. Yeah. And the professor emailed me. She was like, hey, are you okay? And it was funny because grades hadn't been released yet. And I was like, should I be worried? And then she told me my grade, even though she wasn't supposed to. And I was like, oh, okay then. So I need to seriously put in some work, right? That's why midterms can be good in that sense, because like they're a reality check. So what I did was, during spring break, I think I used the Understanding Contracts book and I was going through everything and coming up with my questions through that. And then I went to her office hours to ask something based on that book. And she was mm-hmm. like, I don't think you should write it that way. Or like, that's not how we went over it or something like that. You know what I mean? So it's like, that's why even though those resources are good, don't be dependent on them. Just as like, don't be dependent on Quimby. Don't be dependent on, you know,
yeah,
like the, for sure, the Themis or Barbary outlines and stuff like that, just because it's a very specific thing. For the bar, you can depend on that stuff because obviously those are bar prep materials. But right, sometimes right, your professor is just going to have different preferences. So what I ended up doing was I then went to my TA and I went over stuff with her. I asked her a bunch of questions. I sent her write-ups because she said that she would grade them if I did them. So I did write-ups early on because I realized that there was some fundamental stuff I didn't understand. Like interpretation was the hardest thing for me to grasp during 2L contracts. Like, I don't know why. And that really helped because the when reading week came around and I was starting to do more practice essays, right, I kind of had skipped the part where like, oh my God, I don't know what I'm doing, because I had already started to figure that out after the midterm that I
failed.
Look
at you.
So, and then I still did really well in the class. So it's like, you can take steps, just do it in a smart way that's not going to waste your time.
I'm back queen. Yeah. And literally like you can do well in the class, even if you bomb a midterm, it is so possible.
Yeah, completely. So I've done it twice so far, I think.
But if you end up doing well, don't slack off.
Yeah,
like, just
don't
keep
get
that
lazy.
Momentum going, mm-hmm, because that will help you in the long run.
Yeah, I think especially if you did well in your first semester of 1L, don't get too comfortable, because then the people who didn't do so well start studying more and like it gets a little more competitive second semester. The atmosphere definitely changed in my section. Just keep doing what you're doing and do what works for you, and just keep your head down and don't compare yourself to other people, because what works for someone else might not work for you, and just get to know yourself.
Yeah. And yeah, exactly.
I mean, that's basically what it is at the end of the day.
Exactly. Well, listen, guys, if you have any questions whatsoever, Suna and I are here always to help. Here. We want to see you succeed, and we really hope that you're taking our advice. And best of luck while you guys are getting your grades. And I know that you're all killing it, because if you're going out of your way to listen to our podcast, that means that, you know, you're doing something right. All right. So.
Just shameless self plug. But yeah, no, exactly. And if you feel overwhelmed, don't worry. Everyone feels the same way, and you will be okay. Just put your head down and do the work.
All right, guys. See you next time.
We will see you soon.
Bye.